This is the Green Zone.
Oh, my! He is the baddest man in the NFL!
This is the Green Zone with Dave Ross and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Green Zone presented by BetMGM, Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. And whenever I hear that, first of all, it's just great to hear Brent Musburger's voice. And then secondly, when they say baddest man in the NFL, are they talking about you? Is that what they're talking? I don't know who they're referring to as the baddest man in the NFL.
Baddest picks, maybe. It depends on how we're going to do here in the next hour.
It's getting tight.
As we get into 12:30 Pacific, when we officially enter the sweat zone.
Okay, I have to ask you a philosophical question before we go to Dave Miller very quickly. So we said that Cliff Kingsbury, he went for it on 4th and 3 and eschewed what we thought would be a relatively easy field goal, about 42 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They get the first down. Then it gets to be 4th and 3 again. Now, it's obviously about 10 yards closer. They kicked the field goal. What's the difference?
Yeah, and look, he was trying to continue to drive here. Arizona, by the way, has outgained Jacksonville 240 to 186, but Jacksonville trying to get the drive going. Trevor Lawrence, by the way, 6 of 6, 58 yards and a touchdown here already in terms of the second half, or rather the second drive. I think it was the first two drives and then the last two drives. So Trevor Lawrence, whoa! Getting it done here for Jacksonville, but it's 13-10, currently about 6 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Arizona -1.5 on the spread, 43.5 in the in-game total. If you want to go money line, -135 on the cards, even money on the Jaguars.
For the record, Wes did not answer my question. Let's go back out to Dave Miller right now, who is watching the Ravens and the Lions. And Dave, what are we seeing here? I know the home team. I got to figure they're getting a little frustrated, the home fans watching this home team. Is this getting uglier before it gets prettier?
Well, it is. Yeah, Justin Tucker connected from 50 yards to make it 13-0. He's now, in his career, 26 of 30 from 50 yards or more. The Lions barely had the ball in the second quarter. Lamar's looked really comfortable in the pocket, and they're taking their shots against a green secondary. Lions have the ball right now roughly at their own 40, their first possession of the second half, but they barely had the ball in the second quarter. Again, if they do not come back and win this game, we're going to look to that first quarter where they had three consecutive drives near or across midfield. Just, you know, they had a 4th and 1 false start penalty deep into Ravens territory. So it's just been offensive ineptitude for the Lions. A commendable defensive effort for the Ravens, though, considering they have so many guys out.
Absolutely. Dave, very quickly, because I know you know this football team better than most in Detroit, and you followed this team for a number of years here. In the Dan Campbell era, right, we're only, you know, 2.5 quarters in so far, I know he's been a punching bag and kind of like a lot of people so far taking their shots at him. Are there any signs early on that potentially get your jokes in now and that he's going to turn this thing around? Because I know he's trying to get that physical and that attitude in with his team. Are you seeing any signs of that?
Dave, I really am. You know, I could be a little bit of a homer when it comes to the Lions, but I become a realist. I believe in Brad Holmes. I believe in Dan Campbell. I'm enjoying watching Lions games. I don't like when the Lions lose. I used to take it very hard, but I saw the first 2 weeks. Yeah, there's going to be frustration. Team might win 3-4 games, but I'm seeing guys fly to the ball quicker. I love Aaron Glenn. I'm a believer. I'm really seeing it. I'm enjoying watching them, even though they remain very frustrated.
I think it's a great point to be made, Dave. And the staff there, right? Anthony Lynn, Aaron Glenn on that staff. A lot of very respected names on the staff that we're seeing there with Dan Campbell. So, yes, to Dave's point, they're struggling right now, and they're going to struggle, right? Mm-hmm. First-year head coach is taking over normally bad teams. That's why you get the job. So as long as you're seeing effort from the Lions, and again, it's 13-0 as the Lions try to move the ball here, I think that's all you can ask for in the early going.
Yeah, Lions are going to be in the red zone here when we come back. 8 minutes left to go in the third quarter. By the way, Baltimore now down to 11.5-point favorites in game, 37.5 on the total. We'll see if the Lions can get some points on the board here.
Let's go back out to Peter Dewey, doing a great job watching the Bengals and the Steelers for us today. And Peter, the last time we talked to you, you basically said, look, the Bengals just look like the better football team. Is that the way it's playing out here in the third quarter?
That's exactly the way it's playing out. Cincinnati was able to come down, get a field goal, go up 17-7, and then Ben Roethlisberger just doesn't look like himself. I don't know if it's the injury or if it's like, let's be honest, he's getting up there in age. He threw a terrible interception to Logan Wilson. He was right in front of Juju Smith-Schuster, and Ben just threw it right to him. And Joe Burrow capitalized. He must have heard me compare him to Andy Dalton earlier this afternoon, because he comes back with another touchdown pass to Jamar Chase. It's 24-7 right now. Pittsburgh just got the ball back. But this is looking like all Bengals. I know it's at 11.5 right now, but I would consider, if you wanted to live bet that line, I would consider taking it, because the Steelers offense is just going nowhere all day.
And to Peter's point, this was reported by CBS NFL insider Jason Lockenfora on the NFL Today. Per him, several execs have broken down Ben Roethlisberger's film, and the concern is mounting within the Steelers organization that Ben looks old and near the end. And other breaking news, water is also wet.
That's what I don't get about that. Look, now Jason's doing excellent work. It's not Jason Lockenfora's part.
Right.
It's not his problem. But the execs are now looking at the tape, and this is what they're saying?
You didn't see it when all of his passes were like four-yard out passes basically last year. And by the way, speaking of the Steelers, they are just now in the red zone, second and 10 from the 24. This has been all Bengals. It is now down to 10.5, 47.5 on the total. But boy, the Steelers just look like an absolutely dead side right now.
They absolutely do. And again, my teaser, even if the Chiefs, they are attempting to get right back in this game, down 4 right now to the Chargers, as they're on the move here about 4 minutes ago in the third quarter. Well, I need that, but I also need Arizona. And guess who just went to the end zone? It looks like the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to take a 2-score lead with James Robinson hitting Pater,
who had a great rookie year. And by the way, it was kind of supposed to be, the plan was Travis Etienne and also James Robinson as a 1-2 punch. Etienne now on IR. James Robinson says, okay, thank you very much. So now 19-10, Arizona up against it here a little bit late.
Let's go back to Arthur Arkush watching this game, Cardinals and Jags. And Arthur, if I lose this teaser because the Cardinals don't come back, I'm going to blame the head coach, Cliff Kingsbury. Am I accurate in doing that?
Hey, guys, it was befuddling. His decisions on field goals today, obviously, more than a bit curious. First, the missed 68-yarder, the ill-fated decision there, and then comes back, like you guys said, was a little wishy-washy on whether he wanted to settle for three. Ultimately did after going for it and converting on fourth down. But look, the momentum has been stolen by the Jaguars. That was the James Robinson drive. 6 out of 8 touches went to him, punctuated with the touchdown. They're about to go up 20-10. And it looks like the Jaguars have a little mojo all of a sudden, guys. They have really been sparked by that wild finish to the end of the first half, have taken control here on this one.
See, Dave, that's why sometimes you got to go back for seconds. Obviously, this game is not over, but I was on Jacksonville last week. They didn't get it done against Denver, didn't get inside the number. But look, you got an 0-2 team at home. You got an Arizona team now all of a sudden kind of feeling themselves a little bit. It's like, hey, we're 2-0, and, you know, we're leading this. We're at the top, or at least tied at the top of the NFC West. But you get a team that goes on the road, and those are the spots I look to play. When you've got a team that is still trying to build a little bit, and now all of a sudden you're laying over a touchdown. I don't disagree with anybody that tees that game down, because you got to do it with that value, especially through those key numbers of 3 and 7. But I just thought that this was such a miserable spot for Arizona, considering you have the Rams next week, and then you have, I believe, another divisional game against the 49ers. So it's like, that's going to show you here. And then all of a sudden you get an Arizona team like, we're just going to go in and whip these guys. Even bad teams are going to try, and you're clearly seeing that with Jacksonville today.
Speaking of bad teams, do you want to give you an update very quickly? It looks like that Dave Miller and those Fighting Lions are on the board against Baltimore here, so PAT pending, and it looks like the Buffalo Bills have just scored again in Orchard Park. We'll have updates on those games with our correspondents when they are ready to rock and roll. But again, to your point about Arizona and Jacksonville, and certainly with Arthur, when you let bad teams hang around, and as he said, the momentum now, you can feel it in Duval, right? This is on Cliff Kingsbury. To me, this is on the head coach. Like, this is why sometimes analytics be damned. Don't let a bad team get hope, because they've got hope right now, and it's starting to pay it off.
Quick comment from one of our regular viewers, Trip Tepper, on Twitter. Urban Meyer said every week last week was like playing Alabama. Luckily, this week he is playing Texas Tech.
Guns up right now.
Very
let's go back
done.
Out to AAA. Anthony Armstrong watching the Washington football team against those Buffalo Bills. And I mentioned that I do believe Buffalo getting close to putting this thing out of reach. What are you seeing so far, AAA?
It's just too easy for Josh Allen and that Buffalo offense. I mean, they're really just taking what the defense gives. And there was one opportunity where Washington actually brought a blitz. They blitzed the safety off the backside. He hesitated a little bit, and Josh Allen was able to complete a pass to Cole Beasley to continue that drive. It's just really come down to having no pressure plus a great game plan to negate that pass rush. If you get the ball out and under a second, Chase Young and the rest of that D-line can't affect you. So the guy, Buffalo's up, what, 33? 33-14 now. Heineke, man, you got to do something.
So there it is, AAA. And with that scoring update from Anthony Armstrong, the over has officially cashed in Orchard Park.
And Josh Allen, 31 of 38, 339, four touchdowns. We're not a fantasy football show, but if you have him on your roster, you're living right. Now the Buffalo Bills, minus 19.5 on the in-game at BetMGM, 61.5 the current total.
Cash those over tickets if you have them. I do have one, so maybe that'll negate one of my teaser busters, as it looks like right now Jacksonville with that 10-point lead, but the Chiefs have now taken the lead against the Chargers. Again, it's so funny. You look at it, they're down 11. They get that late field goal right before the end of the half after being down 14-0. If anybody can flip it, it is Patrick Mahomes. Now I want to see, can King Kyler, like we were anointing the Cardinals a week ago, and Kyler Murray, a favorite to win the MVP. Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to be an MVP in this league, you don't lose to the winless Jags
right
on the ROAD. You got to figure out a way to get this W. Let's see if he can do it. I'm not saying he can't or he won't. But again, when you want to be in an MVP discussion, this is the type of game you have to win.
He was 11-2, the shortest price on the board at BetMGM, and we'll get an update on the other side to see if we've seen a little bit of a drift. But right now, 3 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Jacksonville, 19-10, 46.5 your current total, and the Jaguars a minus 165 money line favorite.
Didn't see if they went for two or if they missed
the missed the extra point. It was Josh Lambeau missing the PAT.
It is very, very windy down there. Wind has been an issue around the National Football League here in week number three. Don't go anywhere. Why would you? It's Wes and I hanging out, talking NFL football with you in the Green Zone right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Be sure to visit vsin.com to check the latest betting splits data. The new feature gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for money line, over under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits are another way vsin is here to make you a smarter better year round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. That is vsin.com.
Back here in the Green Zone with Wes Reynolds. I am Dave Ross. Very quickly, we just saw that Arizona got back on the board here. So 19-17 right now in Jacksonville. But we do want to go to Will Hill right now watching the Falcons and the Giants. And I expected an emotional second half from the Giants after Eli Manning, rightfully so, had his jersey retired there in the Meadowlands. What are we seeing? Any life from the home team here, Will?
No, I'm expecting some life for you. This is right up your alley, Dave. A lot of punts. Lot, you know, fourth and three, we're punting. We're playing field position. A lot of conservative play calls. A lot of holding penalties. Like I said earlier, the offensive line both having a lot of trouble. You know, depth of target is an issue because these guys can't block. So the points are valuable. This clock's melting away. We're under 2 minutes here left in the third quarter. A couple first downs each team. The Giants did have fourth and three. The Falcons, 37 or 38, decided to punt. Falcons get a couple of first downs. You know, field it's flip the field, but it's the Giants with the ball now as they just crossed midfield down 7-6. And this clock is melting away here. We're getting towards the fourth quarter.
The New York Giants offense is not back in the New York groove, as that's their touchdown song. And not many on the board here. 7-6, 2 minutes left to go. And to Will's point, Giants now -2.5 if you want to go money line. 175 on the Giants, plus 140 on the Dirty Birds. 27.5 the current in-game total.
I just did this face, Wes, because as you were doing that update, we're going to go back out to Arthur Arkus watching the Cardinals and the Jags. You're going to see a rookie make a rookie mistake with Trevor Lawrence. Arthur, tell the people all about it.
Yeah, guys, without flinching, Kyler Murray takes him downfield five plays, 75 yards to bring it within a couple points. There's a couple extra points missed on the Jacksonville side looming large. At least they were until just a couple moments ago. As you said, Trevor Lawrence deep in his own territory. Just he makes a mistake, he can't. And the Cardinals make him pay with a pick six. They had dropped several interceptions today. This one was a no-doubter, took advantage, and they go back up ahead. This game has been wild, guys.
That is a terrible throw that Trevor Lawrence just made, and he's made some good ones too. And this guy, I think, is going to be a really good NFL quarterback, but he is a rookie that was intercepted. He was trying to find Hollister, and Murphy just broke on the ball. Easy break for the DB there. And now 23-19, 24 seconds left to go. Extra point is good. So 24-19 Arizona. That flipped really quickly.
Teasers are alive. Well, let's go back.
Let's have it end right here at five. So right. The against the spread and the teasers can get there for everybody.
There we go. Everybody be happy with that. Let's go back out to Sean Green with the Chargers and the Chiefs. And I mentioned that the Chiefs had flip-flopped this thing. And Sean, you mentioned it, right? If there's anybody at halftime that can flip the script, it's Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Are they officially flipping that script?
Yes, the script has been flipped. Now the Chiefs are up 17-14, although it could be short-lived as the Chargers have answered with their own drive, getting in field goal range. Now we'll see if they end up converting on the kick, but a real back-and-forth affair here. And, you know, they got the touchdown. Patrick Mahomes did fumble. He recovered his own fumble, so almost disaster in Kansas City. But right now, they are hanging on to a three-point lead.
All right, that's going to be interesting. That could be the – we'll find out how this Jags and Cardinals game plays out. But we were – look, all weekend long and all week really leading up to it, you thought there's going to be a teaser buster. Mm-hmm. Where is that? You're trying to identify where that could be. Well, we've just identified two, right? We got a close game down there in Duval, and certainly right now, to Sean's point, the Chargers on the move, only down three. So potential teaser busters there. We'll see how these games play out here as we get ready for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and one other one that might have gotten more comfortable in teaser territory is in Cleveland, and we can go to our man Nate Jacobson, who's watching this game. Cleveland Bears kind of been hanging around. Cleveland's really dominated the game, as Nate has pointed out. But, Nate, what's going on down there in C-Town?
Yeah, Kareem Hunt just rushed for a touchdown to make it 20-6 for the Cleveland Browns. Fourth quarter just started. A nice run by the Browns running back. And you expect the Browns running backs to take over right now. Bears defense is absolutely gassed. They've played pretty well this today, sacking Baker Mayfield five times, but they've been on the field for 28 of the 45 minutes. They've been on the field for 59 plays. The Bears offense has only run 30 plays. So now it looks like it's going to be Hunt and Chubb trying to milk this game out, although the Bears will get the ball. And before the Browns scored that touchdown on the drive before, the Bears had a drive that was aided by a 48-yard defensive pass interference, which was very questionable. And on fourth and two from the Browns four, down 10, the Bears kicked a field goal. It looks like Matt Nagy was maybe trying to play for the spread instead of trying to win the game. A lot of people on Twitter, including me, would have definitely gone for it. They decided to take the points. Browns drive right back. Now they're up 14 in control. Teasers are looking good. Browns minus 7, definitely maybe in jeopardy. But with the way the Bears are playing offense, Justin Fields, only 5 completions today, has been sacked 7 times. I'm not sure if they're going to get into the red zone again to get a touchdown, unless it's truly garbage time. But Browns now in control, up 20-6 as a 14.5-point favorite on the live line right now.
I was just about to say that, what Nate talked about with the sacks here. Justin Fields has 5 completions on the day, 5 of 12 from 58 yards. He's been sacked more times than he's had completed passes, 7 of them. Miles Garrett with half of those at 3.5 sacks. So, you know, be careful what you wish for. Mm-hmm. He said, speed actually of the game really wasn't all that fast for me. It was actually slow for me. It's not slow when you're going against Miles Garrett. The Bears have run 30 plays from scrimmage for 59 yards. The Browns have run 59 plays and the Bears have 59 yards. So 20-6 here. You feel like when you're looking at these numbers, Cleveland ought to be up by more. They ought to be up by like 4 touchdowns. But so that's what you still worry about if you laid the 7 like I did with the Cleveland Browns.
You know, it's interesting. And again, these teaser sweats are real, and they're certainly real in Kansas City, because last time we talked to Sean, the Chargers were on the move. They've cashed in here, 11 play drive that just under 5 minutes, and the PAT is good. So the Chargers leapfrog back in front, 21-17. And I bring this up because the over looked dead in this game. Absolutely dead. It still may be. And again, close around 56 in most books here in Las Vegas. But now you got 38, and there's still 14 minutes to go, basically, in the fourth quarter. And this shootout feels like it's begun.
Yeah, remember the second half total, it was basically adjusted 45 on the end game. Now up to 52.5. So approaching what it was, at least pre-flop. Chiefs, by the way, still minus 2.5-point favorites if you want to lay the spread. If you want to just lay the money line, minus 140 in-game at BetMGM, plus $1.15 on the Lightning Bolts.
And there it is, the adjusted total there at 52.5. So getting close to the original total here as they creep up and these bang-bang touchdowns going back and forth. I don't think Patty Mahomes is done by a long shot for the day, and Justin Herbert answered that call very well as the Chargers go right back down and regain the lead, which does not make me very happy as a teaser player of Kansas City here. So Again, a lot of sweats. Are we in the sweat zone yet?
We are rapidly approaching here. For some people, it's already a sweat zone. It's a sweat zone every damn play for me, for God's sakes. But it's a sweat zone, and that's one of the things about betting the NFL. I know we don't get always into the prop market. Every play matters. Every score matters. So, you know, when you talk about the live wagering, I'm like, you know, that score didn't affect the pre-flop spread or total or a teaser or anything. It mattered to someone.
Yeah, I tell you this, the only game that really feels like it's over, it feels like, again, is Cincinnati, kind of sitting on Pittsburgh here 24-7, and maybe the Browns right now with that two-score lead over the Bears, but everything else pretty much hanging in the balance here.
Yeah, are we getting close to a boat race alert? We shall see. By the way, we do have a touchdown here in Tennessee. Jeremy McNichols, a screen pass there from Ryan Tannehill, so that makes it 20-13. Extra point going to be pending. About 12 and a half minutes left to go. Colts defense kind of been hanging in there. We know Carson Wentz, not exactly 100% here, but he has been going. Only 163 yards, by the way, for the Colts, but the Colts defense with a little breakdown as McNichols sneaks out of the backfield. So Titans now get ahead of the number. Extra point going to be pending, but still a lot of time left in Tennessee.
Very quickly, just want to get your thoughts. We just saw, and hopefully you're seeing the live adjusted odds and numbers on the bottom of your screen here. We just saw the Browns 14.5. Now they're up 14, 20-6. Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, I mentioned, I use the term kind of sitting on them, as Nate Jacobson pointed out, kind of trying to let the air out of the ball here and bleed it down.
Yeah.
How would you back the Browns there in a live a wager of giving 14.5 if you're really not trying to score necessarily and knowing the Bears do need to try to score to get back in this game?
Yeah, and I don't know if I would really get involved in this because you're a little bit worried on the Cleveland side if they're kind of going to let him back in, because like you say, they should be up 28, but they're only up 14. So Justin Fields, you know, I would expect, okay, if nothing's there, he is going to run for it and just try to keep drives alive, much like he did last week in Cincinnati.
Right.
By the way, really quickly back to Tennessee. It's now a 9-point game because Tennessee goes for two and makes it 22-13. And we've seen that was the analytics guys are loving this right now on Twitter. I know they're besmirching Dave Ross, who
I'm not like every time follow the ball. Yes. I'm like play it, feel it out. That's why you're a head coach. You have to make those
guy.
Right intuition here. You can use analytics and also use your head and how the tone and tenor of the game are going. When we come back, my goodness. Saquon Barkley's gonna fight?
I'm back in a New York groove.
Update from the Giants coming up here as they take the lead against the Falcons. Come on back, it's the Green Zone. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This football season, your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today. Get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds here. It is the Green Zone, officially the sweat zone, I do believe, around the National Football League as these early game starting to wind down in the fourth quarter. Will Hill has been watching a great game inspired by the jersey ceremony for Eli Manning. Big Blue is back, baby. Will, how are the Giants faring right now?
They find the end zone for the first time. They run a little QB sweep with Daniel Jones, and now they get it. They are up 14-7, and man, a 7-point lead, you know, might not sound like a lot in some of these other games. With the way these two teams are struggling to move the ball, a 7-point lead is a lot. It's now third and long. The crowd is pretty loud right now. The Falcons have the ball, and you just figure, man, if they could just get a stop and maybe out on a field goal, it's hard for Atlanta to block. It's hard for them to move the ball. So this 7-point deficit is a lot here. I think the -6.5 line, even though I'm on Atlanta here, if I had nothing in pocket, I might look here towards the 6.5 because Atlanta really hasn't moved the ball well all day. They've left some opportunities on the board, too. They dropped the ball inside the Giants' red zone. Earlier in the game, another drop on third down in Giants territory, and it's been hard for them to move the ball here.
Yeah, and right now, as Will said, -6.5, -$1.50 to lay that under 7 at BetMGM. They're going to make you pay for it. 30.5 in terms of the in-game total, but the New York football Giants looking good. Timeout here on the field, 11:34 left to go. Atlanta's going to have a 3rd-and-8 in their own territory. G-men up 14-7.
Sweat alert here a bit if you are a Ravens backer today. And for more on that, we go back out to Dave Miller watching the Ravens and the Lions. And Dave, that's why I asked you about Dan Campbell. In the way that this team is operating, they operate with some fight, and you're seeing some now out of the home team. What's going on?
We are, yeah. The Lions found the end zone. Jared Goff went 7 for 7 on an 11-play, 75-yard drive. 3 rushes and 3 receptions for DeAndre Swift. We know the Lions don't have a ton of talent at wide receiver. I think Quintez Cephas moving forward is a nice piece, but they just don't have a ton of talent. So a lot of this stuff's underneath. T.J. Hockenson, very quiet, just a couple of catches today. We know the struggles the Ravens had with tight ends the first 2 weeks, but Lions found the end zone, and then on the ensuing drive, Ravens promptly went downfield, but had to settle for a Tucker 32-yarder, and now the Lions are at the Ravens' 10-yard line looking to make this a little bit closer. It's 16-7 right now.
And now, first and goal from the two is DeAndre Swift. Tried to leap in the end zone. Boy, he reached that ball out. That ball could pop loose. That's very dangerous when you do that, but the Lions are going to have first and goal from the 2-yard line. 16-7 right now, depending on your number. There was a 9 early in the week. It got adjusted from that look-ahead number after the win over the Chiefs. It was 7.5 adjusted up to 9. So, Detroit Lions knocking on heaven's door here if you back them, and I'm one of those guys, so definitely the sweat zone for me in Detroit.
And it looks like you mentioned, I believe we were in a break, and you said, you know, the Browns, if they just get 3, it's going to feel like that game is over. They did get 3 right now, so it's a 3-score game officially in Cleveland. And I mentioned that maybe the over, not the adjusted total, but the original over pre-flop in the Chiefs and Chargers game might be back in play. Well, guess what? It is, because the Chiefs have gone right back down the field, and that shootout, if people expected one, it's coming late. It didn't come in the first half, 14-3 at halftime. And right now, 24-21 Chiefs.
You're never out of an over in a Chiefs game. And even in a Chargers game, as wacky as this is now the Chiefs have to lead. And our man on the seat, Sean Green, has the update for us on Chargers and Chiefs.
Yes, and we got another lead change. As last time we talked, Chargers took the lead. Then Chiefs responded. Chiefs are up 24-21 at home. 6:43 left to go in the fourth. It's going to be a wild one, but yeah, nice back and forth affair here we have in Kansas City.
And again, you see 51.5 here for the adjusted total at BetMGM. I don't feel like the points are going to stop here in the next 6 minutes, right, Wes? I mean, which way would you play this here right now at 24-21?
Well, it's juice to the over here. They're going to make you pay for it here this late in the game, -150. But look, if the Chargers go down and get a field goal, obviously overtime very much in play here. So I would lean to the over here in the spot.
Okay, and again, the Steelers just got a field goal. So again, a game that's felt like a dead game for the majority of the day, if you were a Steelers backer at least. It's 24-10 now, a 2-score game.
3 for Indianapolis as well, now 22-16. That did see 6 yesterday, so some of you might be pushing here, but still 22-16. Rodrigo Blankenship, another 3 points, so 11 minutes to go down there in Nashville.
And let's go back out to Peter Dewey on that game with the Steelers, and I know they wanted 7, had to settle for 3. Any signs of life from the home team here, Peter?
There was a few signs of life. They got a lucky pass interference call on a play to set them up and eventually get first and goal inside the 5. But the Steelers have shot themselves in the foot. Chase Claypool picks up an offensive pass interference. Then Ben Roethlisberger gets sacked. Then they pick up a false start, and they fall all the way back to second and goal at the 21-yard line. They have to settle for a field goal. Juju Smith-Schuster has been ruled out for the game with a rib injury. Ooh. So it's going to be Ben to Claypool probably down the field the rest of this game if they have any chance of coming back.
All right, down 2 scores here. Again, the live adjusted odds line rather at 12.5 if you want to back the home team.
Now we know why the market hated this team, because you saw that season win total, 8.5, juice to the under. It's like, wait a minute, this team was 11-0 to start the season last year. They do have, I think, a Lombardi Trophy winning defense, but they darn sure don't have a Lombardi Trophy winning offense. Ben Roethlisberger, we mentioned that report earlier. Look, maybe he and Mike Tomlin kind of passed their expiration dates there in the Steel City.
It is amazing. We've talked a lot about the teaser sweats today. I know I've been sweating those out a little bit, and I got mad at Cliff Kingsbury. I'll be honest about that. After the decision he made in the first half to give Jacksonville life, remember that the Cardinals were down 13-7 at the half. They just scored another touchdown. That game is flipped. 30-19 right now, Arizona, PAT pending. Ben Falks has been watching the Patriots and Saints today and had a huge bet come in on the Saints early. And that backer, the big play alert, Ben, it's looking like that's going to cash. How's that game playing out?
Yeah, guys, I think that bet is still in pretty good shape here, holding that plus $310,000. But Patriots have gotten back in the game. Saints offense has done nothing the entire second half. We said that first play was a pick six off of Mac Jones to put them up 21-3. Patriots went on a long drive, 16 plays, 70-plus yards, took over 9 minutes, and then settled for a field goal. But they then forced the Saints to punt, got the ball back, went right down the field, scored a touchdown. It's now 21-13. Saints up, getting the ball back. I think we've got about 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter here. So we got a game. It looked like it was going to be all Saints. That's why they play the games. They play the second halves. Should be a fun finish here.
Absolutely, 21-13. So not done with the sweat because, again, do the math. Patriots come down, get a touchdown, two-point conversion. All of a sudden, then you're sweating out that bet a little bit more. But so far, it feels like the big bet alert, he's on the right side so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And you might be on the right side if you're on Cleveland. Myles Garrett, by the way, now Browns all-time record, 4.5 sacks. Justin Fields, welcome to the NFL. 5-16 for 57 yards. This isn't playing Indiana or Purdue.
No.
This is playing the Cleveland Browns and Myles Garrett as they are all up in the Chicago Bears right now, 23-6.
Let's go back out to Nate Jacobson doing yeoman's work on this game today. And I know, Nate, you're in Chicago watching this game, obviously being played in Cleveland, but you're following things on Twitter. You know how that city is. What's going to be the assessment if this holds here on Justin Fields in his starting debut?
Yeah, I mean, it's really ugly, Dave. Justin Fields has been sacked 8 times, as Wes mentioned, 4.5 of them by Myles Garrett. He just has no time to throw. And I think in Chicago, they're going to really be blaming Matt Nagy, the play caller and head coach, because he's not getting Justin Fields out of the pocket. It's just in the pocket. And when you have Jason Peters, 39-year-old left tackle, getting abused by Myles Garrett, it's not going to end well. So I think there's going to be a lot of soul searching at Halas Hall this week where the Bears practice. They have a home game against the Lions next week. And then in week 5 are in Vegas against the Raiders. So maybe some softer defensive schedules coming up before the schedule really ramps up. But you have to wonder if Andy Dalton is healthy in a few weeks. I know there was a report today he might miss an extended period of time, that maybe Matt Nagy won't be afraid to go back to Andy Dalton like he said he would this week if Andy Dalton was healthy. So pretty much a disaster for the Bears offense today. Going to be a lot of talk this week as the Browns are in control, up 23-6 with just under 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
All right, barring a miracle, Nate, we're going to say goodbye for the afternoon. You should follow Nate on Twitter, as I do, at NateJacobson1. Does great work at Stadium, breaking down games for Stadium. But I got to say here, when you look at the adjusted win total for the Bears, to Nate's point, it's 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
And, I looked at their schedule pre-flop here before we saw how it was going to play out with Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. And I just didn't see 8 wins on the schedule for this team. And
yeah,
right now, offensively, they look like they are an absolute mess.
Yeah, they do. And it's probably not going to get any better, like you said, not getting Fields out of the pocket. You don't want to keep him back there with that offensive line that got absolutely abused today, not only by Myles Garrett, 4.5 sacks, but the entire Browns defense. So, look, you got to get Justin Fields on the move, because if he stays in that pocket, he's going to take a lot of hits.
There are sweats right now in Detroit. When we come back, we'll update those pesky Lions, only down 2 to the Ravens, and the Chargers inside the Chiefs 10. Ah, sweat zone. It's officially upon us right here on the Green Zone. It's on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sign up today at BetMGM and enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with the lock of the year. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any pro football team, and if that team scores a touchdown, you're going to win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use the bonus code VSIN200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use the bonus code VSIN200 to win $200 in free bets if any team scores a touchdown. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. It is officially the sweat zone right now, but we do have one game I think we can officially put to bed.
Not the sweat zone in Buffalo if you back the Buffalo Bills, because Dave Ross, we have
Captain Wes!
A boat race alert here in Buffalo. 43-14. Triple A is our guy on the scene there watching this Washington football team in Buffalo game. Anthony, give us updated on the details here. It looks like all Bills Mafia here in the second half.
All Bills Mafia all day. I feel sorry for all the foldable tables up there in northern New York. And nice hat, by the way.
Thank you.
Josh Allen adds his fifth touchdown on the day. I mean, they just continue to drive the ball down the field. Just real nice, quiet, methodical. And he just ends up scrambling out to the right, just pushes in, puts the ball over the line for his fifth touchdown on the day. All in all, I mean, when I'm looking at it, I would love to see the all 22. It just seems to be that you got to get in, find a way to get a little bit tighter coverage for that Washington defense. This is a very dominant Buffalo Bills team. I'm excited to watch them moving on throughout the rest of the season.
All right, Triple A Anthony Armstrong. Follow him on Twitter as I do at Mr. Armstrong 13. Triple A, great job all day. I don't think we're going to have to check back in. And by the way, please, people, tell me you've seen Caddyshack. This is Judge Smales right here. We are on the boat with Wes.
Ahoy, Malloy. Where did you come from? A Scotch Ed? I'm just waiting. You're playing Spalding, and I'm Danny Noonan here on the dock at Judge Smales' party.
It's a fantastic look, Wes, but you appropriate because that was a boat race right there with Buffalo blowing out the Washington football team very quickly. The Chargers had first and goal at the one, then a little procedure, motion penalty, backed them up. They had to settle for three, so just outside of the two-minute warning, 2:14 to go in regulation, all knotted up at 24, which might kill your pre-flop over, but certainly the in-game over is going to hit.
And Patrick Mahomes, by the way, does have three timeouts and the two-minute warning, so that's almost a century for this guy. You don't want to give the ball to him, but they have to settle for that 24-yarder from this guy, you know, so now all tied at 24 in Arrowhead.
And again, the sweat zone is real in Detroit because a bad turnover by Lamar Jackson has given the Lions life. They're only down 2-16-14 over 4 minutes ago. We'll keep a watchful eye on that. But we do believe we can put another game to bed, which was, boy, talk about a swing. Let's go back to Arthur Arkush, who's been watching the Cardinals and the Jags. The Jags led 19-10 in the third quarter. And then Arthur, boy, Kyler Murray and the defense actually picked up the pace there.
Absolutely. I think the defense started to feast a little bit on the first overall pick, guys. And I think the story of this one is kind of the juxtaposition of two first-round quarterbacks and the evolution of those guys. Kyler Murray wasn't going to let Cliff Kingsbury give this game away. After his interception, Kyler's only real mistake on the afternoon, Arizona with three long scoring drives, Kyler looking completely in control to put this one away and keep Arizona undefeated, it would appear.
Okay, right now, 31-19. Arthur, great job as always. Follow him on Twitter as I do at Arthur Arkush. Great job covering the NFL as he continues to do for us here on the Green Zone. So again, we'll check back in, but it looks like that game safely in command for Arizona with a 12-point lead. They have the ball. They're moving it right now, first and 10, under 3.5 to go.
Yeah, and we're about to have maybe a two-possession game here. Tennessee is going to try a field goal. Colts, by the way, out of timeouts, 22-16 here. So we're going to have Randy Bullock on to try to make this a 9-point game. Obviously, the spread's still in play. Colts are going to get the ball back, but they are going to likely hold them to three if Randy Bullock can go ahead and make it.
You know, when the G-men got their first touchdown of the game, they got the two-point conversion to go up 14-7. It felt like kind of the game was over because we just haven't seen a whole lot of offense. Right now, let's go back out to Will Hill. Will, all of a sudden, it's getting, well, I guess sweat zone is real for the home fans there of the Giants. What's going on?
Sweat zone is real in the home of me right now. I got Falcons plus three. We got a tie game, and we got the biggest play of the game coming up. We're about the Giants at the ball at their own 46-yard line. It's 3rd-and-2, so it's going to be we're under 3 minutes to go. Remember, the Giants have a really good field goal kicker, so play of the game here coming up. We could be looking at overtime. Giants probably ideally would get a few first downs and rely on Gano to send this send the fans home with a victory here. So 3rd-and-2 here. We're coming up here on the two-minute warning as Jones is back to pass. Incomplete. I don't know if we're getting a flag. We are. So the Giants drive will continue here.
There it goes. So hopefully they can play keep away if you're a Giants backer here. And again, that game was around 3, 2.5 is where we saw it moved. So depending on where you got that line, That could be a very interesting outcome of this drive.
Field goal, by the way, from Randy Bullock is good. Now a two-score game here with just a little bit under 4 minutes left to go for the Colts. Danger time. They're looking at 0-3. It is 25-16. Colts backers on the underdog line, very much alive. But if you bet the money line, it looks like the horseshoe is going to start out 0-3 on the season.
Not good. And again, right now, the Browns get another field goal. So that game firmly in command of Cleveland. They are up by 20 right now in the fourth quarter. And again, the Steelers trying to desperately come back here, about under 4 minutes to go here, but still down two scores, 24-10. But they are moving the ball right now deep into Cincinnati territory.
Yeah, and it looks like also it's just about over in New England. 2:37 left to go. We do have a touchdown here. Now Saints 28-13. By the way, this total, maybe it could get a backdoor over if you did back the over here. It was one of the lowest totals on the board. It was 43.5 basically across the board at BetMGM. So now 28-13 New Orleans over New England.
You know, it's very interesting because I think the game that a lot of people, it just felt like it was a snoozer and it was, you know, Baltimore's just sitting all over the Lions. Defensively, they can't do anything. Well, all of a sudden that game is certainly in play with the Lions potentially to pull the upset. About 5 minutes to go right now, down two in that last look. They were moving the ball into Baltimore territory. So we'll check in on that game in a little bit with Dave Miller. But right now, let's go back out to Ben Fox, who's been watching the Patriots and the Saints for us over at South Point. And Ben, what's the latest here? Because last we talked to you, the Patriots were creeping and creeping and creeping.
Yeah, as Wes mentioned, the Saints do what good teams should do in the fourth quarter. Long scoring drive, 13 plays. Think it took up almost 7 minutes, ending in a four-yard Taysom Hill, everybody's favorite, rushing touchdown. He converted a third down as well. And so now we're 28-13. Think that better with Saints plus three for $110,000. Can rest easy, feeling pretty good. About 3 minutes left here. I just got to say, too, you know, much like we need more cowbell, we need more captain hat for Wes.
Yeah, so we do.
I look forward to busting that out in the coming weeks. That was excellent.
Fantastic hat. Fantastic job by Ben. Thanks for doing great work for us. Again, you should follow him at BFox22 on Twitter, as I do.
Interception, by the way, boy, for Patrick Mahomes. You know, you don't want to give the dude the ball, but he overthrew Travis Kelce and airmail on that, so Chargers are going to get the football. 24 apiece, though, and plenty of time. It was Gilman on the interception, so Chargers are going to have a chance to win outright.
Whoa, that's not good for me. Let's go back out to Sean Green right now, because Sean, I was feeling pretty good. They hold the Chargers to three there after a first and goal on the one. So you got a tie game. You got Pat Mahomes. You got the timeouts. You got the two-minute warning. And then to Wes's point, what was that?
Yeah, I mean, that first interception for Patrick Mahomes, you could clearly blame on the receiver. I mean, it was a little behind him. But, yeah, that was just a complete airmail interception in under the two-minute warning. So this Chiefs team is unraveling. Maybe a hangover still from that tough Baltimore loss, but they are in trouble here and could go 1-2. Who thought we'd see them with a sub-500 record? But who knows? The Chargers have an affinity to blow games, so this should be a great finish here, all tied up at 24 in Arrowhead.
All right, we'll check back in with Sean. And again, I mentioned what was going on in Detroit. They have now hit the two-minute warning. Remember, they were just down, I believe it was 16-3.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, they get a field goal, and they get a touchdown, and all of a sudden, 16-14, and they have the ball deep in Baltimore territory at the two-minute warning. They're going to try to ice this thing. Baltimore does have two timeouts.
Yeah.
But Wes, this could be the shocker of the day.
And if you are on the Lions like I am, you just got to avoid the defensive touchdown. Avoid a pick six going all the way the other way. 16-14. Right now, the Lions on the Baltimore 14-yard line. Ravens do have two timeouts. It is at the two-minute warning. I think the Lions also have two timeouts. So when we come back, like we said, a teaser buster is probably going to occur, and it looks like it may be in the D.
And it looks like right now the Chargers, boy, they are now deep into Chiefs territory with the first and 10. The Chiefs have three timeouts left, but they're 1 minute to go in regulation. Tease busters all over the place. Money line plays might get destroyed here with some major upsets potentially. We'll tell you all about them when you come back with us. It's the Green Zone on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Steelers game is done. They didn't convert.
Wow.